All right, so we have one more session on the tabernacle, and the reason the kids are going to stay up here one more time is because we're going to look at practical application of how we can use this tabernacle as a blueprint for many things that we encounter in our walk. So a couple of things. Remember, the tabernacle is different than the temple. We are told that we are the temple of God. So after we're done with this tabernacle study, we're going to actually do the makeup of man and use the temple to show the different makeup of man. It's a study we did probably about 10 years ago, maybe, and we're going to revisit that one. So following off of the tabernacle, we're going to go into the temple and how it is the makeup of man and how we can deal with a lot of things within that. Very fascinating study as we come into that. However, we're still in the tabernacle. What's the difference between the tabernacle and the temple? Remember, the tabernacle was given by God to Moses after the children of Israel left Egypt and they were wandering around in the desert. It was meant for a short trip. However, they ended up spending 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, before they arrived. And so what does that give us a picture of? It gives us a picture that this was a movable dwelling, a movable sanctuary that the children of Israel were to bring with them, also bringing God with them as they journeyed through the wilderness. So how is that applied to our lives? Well, we physically have yet to enter into the promised land. And so physically, we are still wandering in the wilderness. Okay, spiritually speaking, we're already there. Spiritually speaking, they were already there too. Right? The promise had been given. They just had to walk out those steps until they physically arrived. And so the picture is that this tabernacle is a dwelling place for God, a way for God and for God's people to have that dwelling while they were wandering in the wilderness. So we got to make sure that we first of all understand what the tabernacle was designed for. We are told in Psalms 77 verse 13 that your way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. Okay, so we can look at this sanctuary, we can look at this tabernacle, and we can see how it points the way of salvation. And that's what it was doing. It was a physical picture, if you will, to the people that were not only encamped around the tabernacle, but the people in the wilderness. It was a visual picture of God's sanctuary. Now, we're told in Hebrews chapter 9 that the sanctuary, the tabernacle, which was given to Moses, is a mirror or a shadow of heaven. And so we've got to look at that and go, okay, well, what does it mean? What does that mean? It means that if we look at the seven pieces of furniture, we can see how God operates, how God has holiness within heaven, and not only within heaven, but how we too are to model that here on earth. So let's just quickly go over the seven pieces of furniture. So the first one is the brazen altar, right? The altar of sacrifice. There's two pieces in the outer court. When you came in, only one way to come in, you would see this altar of sacrifice. And upon this altar of sacrifice, there would have been a sacrifice given before you could even go further into the presence of God. So in the time of the tabernacle, you can read in Leviticus, it starts talking about the different sacrifices that are required for whatever. But the point is there is a requirement for holiness, for being in the presence of God, a requirement of sacrifice. And we get that picture all the way back in Genesis with the fall of man, where God demonstrated the only way to cover that sin wasn't through the leaves that Adam and Eve sewed together on their own effort, but it was through the sacrifice of something innocent that would cover the sin. And that's where God performed the sacrifice, and he made for Adam and Eve the tunics which they covered themselves. So that's the first thing, the picture of sacrifice. Now we move over to the laver, where they, after the priest, and before the sacrifice, by the way, the priest would wash themselves. So you imagine after you sacrifice whatever animal it was, you would have blood all over you, and before you can continue to go into the closer to the presence of God, you'd have to wash that stuff off. And so this brazen laver, which was made from the brass of the mirrors of the women from Egypt that gave the children of Israel, they would wash themselves, they would clean themselves, okay? They would put off the blood, they would put off the dirt. That happened in what we call the outer court. Okay, so two things show the way into the next section would be the holy place. So before I can even get into the next section, there's a sacrifice required and there's a washing required. Now I move into the holy place and there's three articles in there, three furnitures in there. The first one would be the table of showbread. And the table of showbread, there would be 12 loaves baked representing the 12 loaves or 12 tribes of Egypt. And those would represent God's provision. We also know that the bread, we're told in the New Testament, is also the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God. From there, you go into the middle portion, and you have the altar of incense. The altar of incense. They would take the coals from the sacrifice, the altar of sacrifice. They would put it on this smaller little altar, and on the coals, they would burn the incense. And we see that as a representation of the prayers. We're told that in Revelation and other parts of the Bible, that the burning of this incense would represent the prayers that we are bringing to God, the supplication, okay? Now, prayer is what? Relationship with God. So there's a problem though, because where was that placed in the tabernacle? It was still placed on this side of the veil. Now, when Jesus talks about after the cross, after the crucifixion, all of a sudden that gets moved in, by the way, into the presence of God. But for right now, it's outside. Then you go over to the left-hand side, if you're facing into it, you would see the golden lampstand, the menorah, the seven different or six branches off of the main branch, giving you seven branches. This was fueled by a very pure, clean olive oil. Okay, so that was very pressed. It was very clean, very, very clean burning, and the wicks were made from the high priest's clothes, and it represented, it was the only light in this room, in this tent. It was the only thing, and we see from there that we represent the oil with the Holy Spirit. The light represents revelation, right? Prophecy, and it also represents us as Christians, that we are the light of the world, and they all kind of tie together. Then you got the veil, and you move into the Holy of Holies, where you have the mercy seat sitting on top of the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat was known as the throne of God, where God would sit. On there is two cherubim looking down, and they're looking down on the law. But what would happen is on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would sacrifice, he would sprinkle the blood on top of the mercy seat. So when the cherubim are looking at the law, they see the covering of the law with the blood. Because if it's up to man, right, and us up to us to keep the law, we fall short. In the Ark of the Covenant agreement, we see God's law, we see God's authority, and we see God's provision with the bowl of manna, with Aaron's almond staff that budded, and with the table of which the commandments were written. So that all leads to salvation. Let's never forget that is the main purpose, okay? When we start to go off of this principle tangent that we're about to go off of, I don't want you to think otherwise. And we'll see how all of those principles circle back that we cannot do anything without Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So that is the foundation in which all of this is built. The sacrifice is what? Jesus Christ. Okay? We see the water. The water is what? This is the participation portion of today's program. Right? We're washing off the sin, right? Baptism, coming up afresh, coming up anew, representing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We go into the holy place. We see the bread, right? God's word. Jesus says, I am the bread. You go over to the altar of incense, and we see the prayers, the intercession, and Jesus in Hebrews tells us He daily, continually makes intercession for us. And then we move over to the lampstand. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And through the Holy Spirit and you, you now are the light of the world. Moving over to the mercy seat, that blood that was sprinkled used to be a lamb, but now it's my blood, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that is covering God's law. So those people that say, hey, listen, there's no need for God's law. God's law is irrelevant. You must forget that is not the case. Okay, because the law is in the covenant. The only thing that protects us from the law is what? The blood, right? The blood that covers it. But it's still there. It's established. It's still there. Now, this is a model of heaven. Now, how can it be a model of heaven? In heaven, do we have God's sacrifice? Absolutely. Sacrificial love. Yes, we do. We have the water up there, the washing off. This is all representing what? God's holiness. God's holiness, God's provision, God's word. We've got the intimacy with God. We've got the light where God illuminates everything. And this is a perfect model of heaven here on earth, not the actual ritual. Now, if God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, when He established all these things, the things that He established at the beginning would be true for the things that He also established in the middle and the end, correct? So it's a model of. Okay, so we can never forget the main purpose of the tabernacle is the gospel, the way. The way to holiness, Psalm 77:13, I'm going to kind of structure the wording here. The way to holiness, the way of holiness, is through the sanctuary, through the tabernacle, through the temple, through whatever it is. But it's that pattern. That is the way to holiness. And the only way for you and I to get to holiness today is through Jesus Christ, which was modeled in the tabernacle. Okay, so never forget that. Outside shows the way. Inside, the holy place shows us the truth. And then in the Holy of Holies is where you dwell and you live with God. The way, the truth, and the life. And even right there, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the way to God. I am the sanctuary. The sanctuary also represents that this is God's pattern and God's purpose, not only for the way of ultimate holiness, but the way of daily holiness. Because in the holy, or the holy place, right? Not the Holy of Holies, but the holy place, the first portion, the showbread, the altar of incense, and the lampstands, they had to be what? Maintained continually. Okay? Outside, the altar, sacrifice, and the brazen laver, where they washed off, had to be what? Done continually. So this stuff has to be done continually in order to maintain holiness. Now, don't slip into a thought of, well, I have to re-sacrifice, I have to go through these motions all the time. No, we've already established that with Jesus Christ fulfilling it, yes? But there's a parallel thought that you can ride along here, and it's what we call the principle. By the way, David said in building the temple that in building the temple, it would be a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant. And if you take that model And if you go into sanctuary, then the tabernacle and the way of the tabernacle ultimately leads to what? Rest. And if you do the way of salvation through the tabernacle, ultimately that leads to rest. And if we use these principles to apply to our daily life through God's blueprint, it leads to rest. All right, so now let's take those thoughts and let's look at the principles of life and walk them through the tabernacle, and we can see how this literally gives us a similar blueprint on how to deal with things, issues in the wilderness. Issues such as, how do I live as a Christian in a worldly place, in the wilderness? How do I approach church? How do I approach Bible study? How do I approach addictions? How do I approach my physical health? How do I approach financial health? How do I approach communicating with people? And how do I approach mental health? All of these things, and you'll start to see the pattern, becomes a blueprint for us in dealing with these. And if you start to use this as the way of how you deal with these issues, you'll see that it is the way of God and will ultimately bring you rest because you're dealing with it through God's sanctuary in the wilderness. But we can never forget, I cannot reinstate this enough, the main point of the tabernacle is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, which, by the way, all circles back to. So let's walk through a couple of these, and I'll give you some examples, but really I want some participation here, okay? Because you guys, this is a tool that you can use and take away with you from today and apply it in so many different areas, okay? Let's talk about going to church. Going to church. Y'all made it so far. What's the first thing, walking through the blueprint, what's the first thing required of us in order to come to church? Sacrifice. Yes. What am I sacrificing? Sleep. Yes. Because some of us sleep till noon. So what else am I sacrificing? Time, right? There's other things I could be doing. There's other issues, right? Maybe work. Maybe there's chores at home. Maybe there's whatever. But what am I doing? I'm sacrificing it. Maybe I just don't feel like going there. So I'm taking those things and I'm sacrificing them for the first step. And then the next thing would be the brazen laver, the washing of the way. What would I do as far as coming into church? How would I implement that? Remember, these are just triggers to help memory points, to help us remember how to walk through things. So I'm walking up to church. I've already sacrificed. And now what else do I need to do before I come in? Wash. Clean up, right? Maybe I got some stinking thinking going on. Maybe I'm walking up the door and I sure hope so-and-so isn't there today. I sure hope that so-and-so is not teaching or so-and-so is not singing or whatever it may be, right? We got to wash that off. Whatever attitude we have coming in, I sure hope that, you know, he doesn't talk about this or that today. I sure hope he doesn't talk about money today. I hope it isn't long today because I got to go somewhere. We started washing those things away, right? Getting rid of those thoughts. Coming in with a pure heart. Clean me, right? Wash me. Okay, so that's been done. Now we're coming in with a good heart, a clean heart, clean motivation. And the first thing I do when I'm in the holy place, what do I see on my right? Oh, this is an easy one, right? God's provision. God is providing you what? His word. And are you eating the word? Or are you just going into Subway and getting free smells? Right? Are you, is it Jimmy John's? I don't know, whatever. They both mess you up. I don't know what it is. But are you just smelling, or are you partaking in God's word? Right? Are you eating it? Is it becoming a part of you? Is it changing your life? And by the way, you can break these out and go into as much depth as you want to with these. Okay? Now after that, I go to the altar of incense. What did we say the altar of incense represented? Prayer. I'm in church. I'm praying, right? I've already gone through the sacrifice, the washing off, the feeding of God's word, and now I'm praying. And maybe you're praying, Lord, I heard your word today. Lord, change my life. Help me understand it. Help me, Lord. Maybe somebody shares with you an issue they're going through, and you pray with them. That's still, right, prayer. We're bringing it to the Lord. Now we move to the lampstand. What do we do with that? The light. The light powered by what? The Holy Spirit. Lord, renew the spirit in me, right? May I be a light in a dark place. May I be that lamp shining in this dark world, Lord. Use me. Now I go into the Holy of Holies, and what do I see? Mercy seat. How do I apply that? I thank God for his forgiveness. Maybe there's some forgiveness I need to help put out there. Right? Maybe there's some forgiveness I need to deal with. And that could, by the way, happen at the altar of sacrifice too. But I just thank God for his mercy. And then we go into the Ark of the Covenant. And now while we're not under the law, we see that God's word is established forever. And we live and we actually live and proclaim and live. I'm saying live twice. I don't know because I've lost the word. It just went out of the way. But we hold on to, there it is. We hold on to God's promises because that's what his word is. That's his covenant. So there you go. Right? I can mentally walk through this process before I come into church. And now I'm coming into church. I'm coming in with the right attitude. Same with Bible study. Right? Same thing. And all of this stuff leads us to a closer time with God. Growing in our faith and our knowledge. All right, you ready to talk about, let's go into some worldly stuff. And I'm going to talk about how this is really going to be neat for you guys. Because not only can you apply it to your own life, but you can also use it for evangelism. It's going to be cool. Let's talk about weight loss. Let's just quickly run through it. Weight loss, okay? Oh, this one should be easy too. I'm walking up to what first? What am I going to sacrifice? Right? Am I going to stop eating sugar? Maybe ice cream? Maybe whatever? Candy? Am I going to do some fasting? Sacrifice some of my meals? Okay, and now I go to the washing off. And there's a couple things you could go with this. You can wash off. You understand that you could say, you know what, the old me would do this, and the old me would wash that off. That's not me anymore. But also you could look at the water and know that, hey, it's really important to have a lot of water, right? Again, this is stretching, guys, but just stick with me for a moment because I'll show you how you could tie it into some really neat stuff, okay? So after that, I go into the holy place. What do I see? Bread. What does that represent? God's provision, yes. And so the way I put this together is I'm looking at God's provision and I'm saying, hey, I'm going to eat things that are as close to as God has provided them as possible. Right? What does that mean? It means I'm eating vegetables and fruit and things that aren't processed, right? Things that are closely to what God has provided. Now, this one's going to be a real stretch for you. On the altar of incense, what are we doing there? We're burning. We're burning, right? What is that? Yeah, there you go. Let's burn some calories. Let's get up and let's move, right? And let's burn some stuff. Now I move over to the lampstand and I see the light. Now, here as Christians, by the way, you can plug in working with God all along the way, and I'll show you that. We'll circle back and do that in just a second. But as a Christian, this is the temple of God, right? Let me give you an example. I'm walking around in the world, right? I'm all feeble and broke, barely move. Whew, that's a tough 10 steps. And then we go talk to somebody and say, you know, I'm the temple of God. And God has done so much for me. It's like, you know, are you the light that we talked about? Are you the representative of God? Are you that light that shines bright? So when you're like that, someone's like, oh, I want some of that. I want to be just like you. No, you represent God, right? Are you able physically to do something if God calls you to do it? Can you be that light? Do you look strong and healthy like God is nourishing you and you are, you know, God's representative? Okay? Now moving into the mercy, what happens? Well, we're going to stumble sometimes, aren't we? When we stumble, what do? Start over. Fall down, we get back up. And then we remember the law of God. And you can circle back and you can say, okay, the law is that I have to do these things in order to get healthy or lose weight or whatever. Again, it's principle-based. But what am I doing? I'm walking through the blueprint of God. Now, as Christians, right, we do this spiritually. We walk up to that altar, and we sacrifice these things because we are doing this as unto the Lord. We're putting off the old, and we're putting on the new, we're told. Right? I go in and I eat the things of God. And maybe it's like, okay, well, what does that look like? Maybe it's like, oh, well, I'm going to do a Daniel fast, or I'm going to look at the Bible and see what the Bible tells me. The prayer, right? The burning away. Spend time in prayer, praying over this stuff with the Lord. Lord, help me make the right decisions. Help me. Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. Give me the power to be that light. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. See how as Christians we can walk through that and not be so worldly with it, but it's still a pattern, okay? Now, moving on to the next one, you can do the same thing with addictions. You fill in the blank. Smoking, alcohol, right? Media addictions with your phones, whatever it may be. Fill in the blank. What's the first thing we walk up to, guys? Sacrifice. What do I need to do? I need to sacrifice something. I need to sacrifice whatever it is. Okay? If I'm smoking, then I got to sacrifice those things. If I have a food addiction, I got to sacrifice that. I got to put it away. I got to stop doing it. Put off the old man. Wash that. I got to detox. Right? Wash that old stuff away. And maybe you get into the thinking of, well, I always fall into these habits. I wash that away. Moving in, we go over to the table of showbread. What does that represent? God's provision. Right? God will provide other things. Fill that time with the things of the Lord. So if you're having a hard time, maybe your addiction is smoking and you want to start smoking, well then, hey, when you start getting that craving, open up your Bible. Allow God's word to fill you, to replace that. Whatever it is, okay? Moving over to the altar of incense. What is that? Prayer, fellowship, higher thinking, right? It's going up, seeing yourself and saying, Lord, I know that you don't want me to be doing this, Lord. I've already given this to you at the altar of sacrifice, Lord. Give me the strength, give me the power, right? The oil to do it. Are you guys catching on here? It should be pretty simple at this point now, because now it's just fill in the blank. We talk about money, right? If I want to start getting better with my finances, what do I got to do? I got to sacrifice something. So if I got to sacrifice the cable bill, or I got to sacrifice going and getting the coffee, whatever I got to cut out to help stop money going out. Then what do I go to? The washing away, right? The water. Putting off the old man. Well, I used to do this. Now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to start saving, right? I'm going to start doing other things with my money. I used to do this. I'm washing that off. Going into the tabernacle there, you see the bread. What does the bread represent? provision, right? Have you heard who's the breadwinner? Give me some dough. Give me some bread. Now, guys, you might be thinking, this is silly. Yeah, it's silly, but it works. Okay, so and there's 12 loaves, so maybe I got to find some other ways of income, right? Is there other things I can do to bring in some more money? Going over to the altar of incense, what does that represent, right? For Christians, we're going to pray. Maybe it's about sowing into God's kingdom. Maybe it's, the prayers. We give in prayers. We're given part of our tithes as understanding God's law. Maybe it's, just having that higher thinking of saying, you know what, when I get there, God's promise, right, without vision, people perish. When I get there, I'm going to be this. And you kind of pray through that. Moving over to the lampstands, you see the same thing. The Holy Spirit powers you. What kind of a witness could you be? What kind of light could you share after you've done these things? Going into the mercy, going into the law, same stuff, same kind of pattern. Communications, maybe you're struggling with communication in your marriage, struggling with relationships. The altar of what is first? Sacrifice. You're going to humble yourself. You don't have to say something every single time when somebody's talking to you. You ever ran into that person and you're trying to share with them and, boy, they just can't wait for you to stop talking so they could tell you about their problem. And it just becomes this battle, right? And you think, oh, I've got the answer. Let me give it to you. Humble yourself. When you're working with your spouse, right? And your spouse is, trying to talk to you and you're like, I know. Humble yourself. It's a picture of Christ. Sacrifice that need to always talk. God gave you two ears and one mouth. Listen more. Sacrifice. Right? That's one of the biggest things. You can always tell somebody who has a problem with humility because they don't listen. They just talk and talk and talk and talk. Talk, 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 talk. And even if you're trying to talk to them, they don't even listen to you. You could tell, right? Their eyes go off to the corner. They're just like, I can't wait for you to shut up so I can start talking. Sacrifice that, guys. You want to have better communication? Stop being the know-it-all. Even if you know it all, stop. Right? There's a time and a place and a way to share your knowledge. Now we go on to the washing off. What do we wash off? The old me. I used to be like this. And I'm going to put on being like Christ, going into the altar of showbread, right? Provision, provision. Maybe if I am going to communicate, maybe I'm going to communicate what? God's word. And in order for me to do that, I got to know the word. And we stand on the promises of God. And then you go to the altar of incense, right? And what do? You pray for them. You pray. Pray for that person. I guarantee you, walk this exercise, your relationships, your marriages, all these things will be so much better. And now you go to the oil and you ask the Holy Spirit to be in that relationship. Lord, knit us together. And then let the light shine. Let the love of God shine through me in my communication. Going to the mercy, understanding you have, there's going to be times where I'm going to fail. Oh, and by the way, giving other people mercy. I can't believe that person said this to me. Okay, so what? Give them mercy. Just like Jesus gives you mercy. Mental health. And mental health, by the way, isn't necessarily dealing with really damaging mental health like schizophrenia and stuff like that. Mental health is stress. Stress. We beat ourselves up mentally more than anything. You guys got to understand the process. Altar sacrifice, what do I got to do? I got to stop that thinking, that bad thinking. Stop it. I got to stop it. You know how we do it? Something bad, we just replay it over and over. Somebody says something to you, you're replaying it over and over. You just stop it. Kill that thing. Wash it off. Cleanse yourself of that. Put on God. Going to the showbread, right? Philippians 4:8 tells us, hey, think of these things, right? This is what God is providing you to think of. Think of these things. Pray as you go to the altar of incense. Pray through these things. Pray, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Lord, I'm having this mental battle, right? David said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? I am saved. Why are you doing this? Going to the lamps, going to the mercy seat, so on and so forth. So this is an encouragement for you guys to walk through the process. And whatever you're struggling, right, as soon as that happens to you, you have to mentally go through this. Okay, I need to sacrifice something here. What is it? What is it? Okay, I need to put off the old. I need to wash off the old stuff, right? That old me is dead, right? Death, burial, resurrection, the washing off, baptism. It's a filter. I need to filter. Water is a filter, okay? Bread, provision, God is providing for me. What does the Word of God say about this situation? How am I going to look unto Him? The incense, I'm going to pray about it. Pray for others. Going over to the lamp, right? The lamp helps me see, helps other people see in the darkness, powered by the Holy Spirit. Mercy seat, I'm going to offer forgiveness. I'm going to receive forgiveness for my failures. And then the ark has God's law and God's authority in it. So how can I use this as evangelism? Remember what I said. That's all fun. And you guys can do whatever you want with it. Okay? Do whatever you want with it. Oh, that's all nonsense. That sounds silly. Whatever. Okay. But you were here today and you were interested in the Bible, yes? Did anybody come that's not really interested in it? No, you came, right? You came to church. You didn't walk in these doors and sit down and open up the Bible and go, oh, they tricked me. They're going to read the Bible here? They're going to talk about God here? No, you guys came. So you know what? When we're talking about these things with you, right, we can show how they point to the Lord. But how can I use this for evangelism? Maybe there's somebody that you know that's struggling with one of these issues. Guys, you walk them through the sanctuary, right? You say, hey, let's sacrifice something. Whatever the issue is, let's sacrifice it, right? Let's put off, right? Let's look at what's provided for you, right? Let's have higher thinking with the altar of incense. Let's look at the light and let's see how this change will illuminate and change things in your life and how you can find sources for that to help you through that process. Understanding that there's going to be falls and you're going to have forgiveness, and then understanding that the law dictates success. So the law kind of circles you back through, right? If you follow these steps, things will change. And so, you know, that's just regular advice. And then you can say, man, this is really great because this is what the Bible tells us. And if they receive from you the way through the sanctuary without you even say it's a sanctuary, then it opens up the door for you to take it to the foundational meaning that, oh, by the way, did you know that Jesus Christ does all these for us? And you can walk them through that. But if you walked up to somebody dealing in an alcohol addiction, and they could care less about God, and if you walk up to them and start to tell them how God can help them, what are they going to do? You guys can be honest, right? They're going to be like, yeah, no thanks. No thanks. But if you share with them the blueprint on how they can have success to that, and then bring it back to show how God designed it, guess what happened? That door is going to open a little bit more. And maybe they go through and they try these things and they're like, you know, I'm trying them, it's just not working. You say, you're missing one thing. Remember the oil that powered the lamp that I told you about? Guess what? That's the Holy Spirit. And how do you get that Holy Spirit? Well, we got to go back to that altar of sacrifice. And that altar of sacrifice, Jesus died for your sins. See how you can use it as a tool of evangelism? And you can share the gospel by meeting people where they are. How many of you guys went out of your way this past week, this past month, past year and went to somebody with addictions, with communication problems, financial issues, health problems, whatever it may be, and walked up to him and just said, you know what, your answer is God. And did it work for you? Maybe it did, maybe not. You know, we're not going to undermine the power of the gospel. Because if God's at work, God's at work. Amen? But somebody that's out there wandering in the wilderness, just like the children of Israel, as they're encamped in the wilderness, and they're out there going, what is that? What is that? What is that setup they've got there? That's what you're doing. You're taking the sanctuary out into the wilderness to meet people where they are. Not only can you use it for your life, but you can use it for evangelism as well. And I think that's what's really kind of fascinating about this. And if we apply these principles now into our life, we'll have a map that ultimately leads us all into the presence and the relationship with God, yes. But it also helps us live in that holiness with God. There's so much in this world that the world offers you, the ways of the world. Hey, there's 12 steps, right? Hey, there's 10 steps to financial freedom. Hey, there's this, there's that, there's this. Could you guys see the pattern of how if we simply follow the tabernacle, it answers everything, does it not? Debt, physical health, fitness. I challenge you to plug something in there and see, and then use it as a memory thing. Now, here's the key. What did I say about the outer court and the Holy of Holies? It was what? Continual, right? This is not a one and done thing. I can't sit there and go, okay, I'm struggling with my diet. I'm sitting there at the restaurant. Looking at the menu. Man, there's a lot of sacrificing going on. burn it, right? It's a lot of sacrifice. This has to happen continually. You don't just sit here in church today and receive it and go, okay, good, I'm done. No, see, this is a way of life while you're wandering around in the wilderness. And this is why I wanted the kids to sit up here today, because listen, this can happen at school, right? Apply it to schoolwork, apply it to friends, apply it to choices between good and bad. You know, hey, I'm struggling here. I'm presented with this thing. Maybe your friends are like, oh, let's go do this. And you're like, okay, well, hold on. Wow. Do I go along with them and get in trouble, or maybe not get in trouble? Or do I make the right choice? Got to sacrifice something. What could I sacrifice? I might sacrifice my friendship. If I make this choice that doesn't go along with them, I might lose some friends. Right? Now I go and I wash it off. I got to wash off. The old person would do this, but I got to wash that off, and I got to put on Christ. I got to put on Jesus, right? And then I go and I look at what God provides. God, you will provide me a way of escape, right? You see how you can play with this? God, you've provided me promises. Your word says to focus on you. And then you go to pray, Lord, help me in this. Lord, help me. And this can all be happening like this, by the way, because once you understand the map, you're just walking through it in your mind. And you stand on God's promises and you make your decisions. See? And now if you're with friends, you can turn that into evangelism. So, what do you do with this? Well, it's up to you. You can apply it, try it, see what it does, or you can just say, yeah, it's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Yes, it is. And as long as you keep that the focus, everything will circle back. Once they enter into the promised land, David decides he's going to build a temple. Of course, we know that that doesn't happen. Solomon builds it. The temple is different. It is a permanent place, and there's some changes to it. And so next week, we'll look at that. The kids will go back downstairs, and they can start talking about how maybe they can apply this stuff. But we're going to look at the temple, and we're going to see how that is the makeup of man. And kind of the same process of what we allow in really has an impact on our lives. Great study. So as we close, walk through this in your mind. The Lord has you know, whatever you want to do with it, the Lord will honor that and just give it to Him and give Him all the glory at the end of the day. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. For Your Word does give us instruction, draws us closer to You, spiritually feeds us. Lord, and through all these things, the end goal is that we are closer to You, that we grow in grace and knowledge, that we grow in the relationship, and that as we walk through this process and focus all this unto You, we enter into Your rest. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that You would just bless this church, bless these people, Lord. As the world is getting crazy, may we look unto You, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, that we may see You and that our peace is from You. When Jesus reappeared after the cross in the upper room, the first thing He said to the disciples is, "Peace be with you." What He was saying, He says, "I am here and peace is with you." That only comes because of that first article of furniture, the altar of sacrifice. We know, Lord, that You stepped out of eternity and You offered Yourself as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You were placed upon that cross to pay for man's sins. For the wages of sin is death, and there are none righteous, no, not one. This is a debt that every one of us has to pay. But Lord, as we receive You, as we believe that You paid for those sins upon that cross, that You died, You were placed in that tomb, You rose again on the third day, and You came up anew, afresh. And Lord, we believe that. We ask for our forgiveness. We receive You as our Lord and our Savior, and we are born again. Jesus, You are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through You. We believe this and we receive this in Jesus' name. Amen.